This is Dave Glowatz.
It sure is.
I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Today we're talking about your article titled, numerically, How Did We Get to 12,500? Which appeared in the Reader on December 16th, 2010, in which you discuss how the candidates running for Chicago mayor need 12,500 signatures and how that came about and whether that makes any sense. First off, I want to ask you about the state law enacted in 1995 that eliminated primary elections for the remaining citywide offices. Aldermanic offices had been primary free before that. That law, according to your article, didn't identify the number of nominating signatures required. You wrote that the Board of Elections determined that it should be 25,000. Is that the City Board of Elections or the State Board?
City Board of Elections, Senator.
How did they determine that, do you know?
They had this laborious logic, which I don't think is within my capability of explaining, but it had to do with the percentage of signatures on nominating petitions that independent candidates need to make the ballot for statewide elections. And so they applied that same percentage, which I believe is 5, to the number of people who voted in the Chicago mayoral election previous to making their decision. And somehow or other, they came at the number of $25,000.
Signatures.
What did I say?
Dollars.
Oh, dollars. Wow. Whew, that's where my mind is.
Well, it costs money to get a lot of signatures.
Mm-hmm.
So they used a calculus that involved the number of people voting in the prior citywide election and applied it forever and ever. Amen.
I love when you say the word calculus. Yes, they did something like that. They calculated it.
Interesting.
I think it was ridiculously high number at 25,000. I think 12,500 is obviously better, but still ridiculously high.
You also write that for candidates running for mayor in Los Angeles, if you were a candidate, you would need only 500 nominating signatures and a $300 filing fee, or 1,000 signatures. This is like, let's make a deal. Or 1,000 signatures with no filing fee.
I got it behind this door.
And then, of course, statewide, we have a law that is interesting. You were talking about percentages earlier. It's another calculus that a particular party needs the number of nominating signatures that is a percentage of the number of people who voted in the last statewide election for that particular office. So given all that, what sort of system do you favor for Chicago?
Well, I favor personally a system where anybody who wants to can run and you just merely fill out a form. Let's have 10,000 people running, and that's the libertarian anarchist in me.
Doc Walls favors that system too, mayoral candidate.
Does he really? I did not know that. But then when people say, come on, Ben, get real, which is, you know, invariably what people say, I say, all right, I'll get real. Somewhere around 100 signatures, filing fee.
Just a slight barrier to entry.
Yeah, slight barrier to entry. The more the merrier. Let them all run.
And finally, let's talk about the Rahm father. No interview would be complete this time of year without discussing. It's kind of like the topic du jour from now till spring, like tax increment financing.
Right, right.
You identify the lawyer representing Rahm Emanuel in his residency case is Michael Casper.
My man.
Whom you say is the chief election lawyer for State Democratic Party Chair Michael Madigan.
Yes, sir.
Does this leave any doubt that Rahm Emanuel is backed by what we know as the machine?
It's hard to say exactly what the machine is. If you're saying if he's backed by the Madigan machine as opposed to the Daley machine, I'm not quite certain who Mayor Daley is backing in this election, if anyone. Part of me just thinks that he's just so upset by the notion that he's not mayor for life that he doesn't want anybody to replace him.
So he's in a fit.
Yeah, he's in a fit, which is where he's pretty much been for the last 20 years. In terms of Madigan, I instantly thought that Casper's presence as an attorney for Rahm was sort of a calling card, sending the message out to the people of the world that Mike Madigan supports Rahm Emanuel, even though, as far as I know, Mike Madigan has not made any public comments one way or the other about who he supports, and it's not known if he's going to support anybody. Subsequently, I've talked to many insiders who assure me that the old man Madigan is far more wily than that, and that he's merely, I don't know what he's doing. It's hard to figure out what Madigan's up to, but that no, I should not read too much into Casper's presence. I don't believe that. I believe that Casper would not be there if Madigan didn't sanction it. And the past interviews I've had with Casper, he's led me to believe that, you know, he runs these cases by Madigan and gets approval one way or the other. So I presume that Madigan, at very least, wants Rahm Emanuel on the ballot. I, by the way, think this whole spectacle proves my point that this system is out of control. I find it ironic that it's being turned against Emmanuel, who's been a creature of the political machine for his entire life. So, gotcha, man. But nonetheless, it's ridiculous, the notion that he should not be allowed to run in Chicago because he didn't live here while he was serving as the president's chief of staff. I find preposterous.
So you favor him being on the ballot?
Oh, absolutely. There's no reason why he shouldn't be on the ballot. The whole system is set up to defend incumbents. And it's also a system with so many confusing twists and turns that it could be turned against anybody, as we're seeing with Emmanuel. So you get these far-fetched legalistic debates as to what exactly the statute means. And then each side says, well, it's clear to me that it means X, Y, Z. And the other side goes, on the other hand, you know, there is this little phraseology here that may mean something else. And then it all comes down to a decision by appointees, judicial appointees, hearing officers and commissioners, and then judges who are, although they are elected by the public, are in fact, in most cases, slated by the party. So it's very much a political decision in the long run. So we're really arguing over nothing. It's nonsense. It's a silly argument in almost every case that's, in my opinion, merely a tool to keep people from running for office and discourage those from even trying. The only thing I enjoy is a bit of irony that it's being used against a lifelong insider.
It's interesting to think that the hearings that are going on now in front of a Chicago Board of Elections hearing officer, looked at the way you put it, really is nothing but a sideshow, what some are calling a circus, because no matter who prevails in this residency argument, the other side's going to take it to court.
Yes.
And that's where it'll be settled.
It'll be settled, probably go all the way up to the Supreme Court. I think, don't quote me on this, but I believe it's 4-3.
What?
4-3 Democrats over Republicans in the Supreme Court. And one of those four Democrats is, of course, Ann Burke, who is the wife of Alderman Ed Burke, who is the chairman of the Finance Committee and who sort of already played his hand in this debacle by questioning Langdon Neal back in October at a budget hearing on this law. So it sure looked as though Burke was acting on behalf of somebody against Emmanuel.
So it'd be interesting to see if Ann Burke recuses herself.
Yes, it'd be interesting if she recuses herself. I guess conventional wisdom says if it comes to the Supreme Court, all three Republicans will go against him because they just want to humiliate and embarrass him and his boss, Barack Obama. So then the interesting issue will be, will the four Democrats knock Rahm Emanuel off the ballot? And so that will be what it has come to. There is no absolutely important issue at stake here. I don't see why anybody cares in any way why a person like Rahm Emanuel, who was out of town working for the president, wants to come back to town to run for mayor. I think that, again, this is just arguments people make up, and now they're stuck perpetuating them because this is our system.
And perhaps a distraction, inevitably a distraction from the things that really affect our lives as Chicagoans.
That is correct, Senator.
We'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.